Good evening. Welcome to your home group. I'm Greg Stevens. We are live on a Wednesday evening here in January in Texas. And last week we had rain, tornado, and then snow. And today it's like 75 degrees. So it's a weird dynamic that we have here. But we are with you tonight. I'm so grateful that you're with us. Home group, what is that? It's a program where you suggest the topics and we try to stay as relevant as we can. I have an iPad right here in my hand. So if you're watching on Facebook, welcome. You can type it directly in and our screeners will get it and get it right to me. Information is on the bottom of the screen. If you want to talk to us in any other way, you can ask homegroup@govictory.com or you can text a question to 682-302-1. 301. Let me do it again. 682-302-1301. And it's going to be a really good night tonight. I have learned about something this week. Oh, I forgot one thing. Last week we had the nutrition program. We're going to air that. We're going to do a follow-up to that because there was so much response. Some of you laughing hysterically at some of the topics and different things, and I just won't go into that about that. But we've got something we're working on that Pastor John and I are going to probably do together. Probably, still praying about this. I'm dragging my feet. I'll admit it. We are going to do a challenge together and work with the nutritionists that were here. And so you'll be able to follow our progress as we do that. Anyway, watch for that in the future. I learned something about this week that I thought I was pretty relevant on things. I mean, I pastored in California. Our director, John, is from California. John, can you answer something for me? Have you ever heard of cancel culture? Have you ever heard of that?
Just recently, yeah.
Just recently. Okay, so I just learned of it recently as well, and I didn't even know what it is. So tonight we're going to talk about being a light in cancel culture. What cancel culture is basically is a boycott. It's a little mini boycott of a person. In other words, I don't like what you say, and you're an actor or an actress or whatever, and so we put out this cancel you thing where nobody watches your movies, buys your books, or even if you talk, we don't even listen to you. And so I'm thinking, that's an interesting thing. And then I realized it's happening in the body of Christ. It's happening in the church, that there are whole ministries that have been canceled and other ministries won't talk to them or listen to them or do anything with them. And so as a result of that, that's why we decided we wanted to talk about this tonight. So I've got a team of people with me to my right. My wonderful bride, Michelle,
is
with me. And Annette is back. Hello, Annette.
Hey.
Have you ever heard of cancel culture?
Never.
Okay. Dale is with us.
Hey, good to see you guys.
And then I brought in a young adults pastor from Eagle Mountain Church, Stephen Shelton. You've heard of cancel culture.
I have. I have heard of cancel culture. Yeah.
Did I describe it accurately?
Yeah, that's fairly accurate. Yeah, that's about kind of the gist of things that you're canceled, you know, like you cancel a TV show or, you know, cancel a subscription.
So people cancel other people.
Correct. Yeah. We, as a movement, we're going to cancel this person because we don't like something
they stand
for. So
who decides that?
It's this mob mentality. It's this idea of somebody finds one thing that they don't like about somebody. They're offended by a thing that's been said, whether it's current or years ago. And they decide, I don't like that. That offends me. I'm going to publicize your wrongdoings, and as a movement, as many people as I can have follow me on Twitter, we're going to cancel you. And obviously, some people are more influential than others when they say, let's cancel this guy. But it's a thing that's happening regularly in pop culture, but also, like you said, in the church, in the body of Christ.
Why is it we're always trying to find out what's wrong with other people?
Does it makes you feel good.
Yes, exactly.
Just makes you feel like you're something.
I'm perfect, and you're not. So that makes
is it really that?
Yeah, it is.
Because I would submit that it's not. I'm perfect, and you're not.
Well, it's easier to point out other people's flaws than to look at
to deal with your own.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
See, I think it's like this: people say what they say when they don't know who they are.
That's true. There's some truth.
To me, when a person is doing that, that's a person that doesn't know who they are.
Right.
And when we don't know who we are, then we attack somebody that we perceive knows who they are.
Absolutely no confidence in what they believe in and what they walk out. You've got to have confidence in yourself and in the Word of God that's in you. So if you don't have confidence, you're just going out there for, to be bashed all over. I have confidence. When somebody comes, nobody comes to me and says, you're not born again, but if they did, I wouldn't slap them. I'd say, well, you have no idea what you're talking about. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But people don't confront people directly anymore, do they?
No.
We were talking about this earlier, the whole kind of misconception of my generation sometimes is just because you have an opinion means that you should share it. And social media gives you this opportunity to pull a phone out of your pocket, type your opinions into, you know, I mean, Facebook says what's on your mind right there. So in the heat of the moment, so whatever is right on your mind.
So right now, people could be saying what's on their mind.
Yeah, what's on your mind. And because there's no face in front of you, you just type whatever it is that's on your mind, press send, and it goes out there in the world with little regard to who it's hurting, to who is the person on the other end of that. And then they comment back and you don't like what you say and you just delete it or block them or whatever and you can move on. Kind of an ignorance, like a willful ignorance of, well, you don't agree with me, so move on. And that's kind of the root of the cancel culture. It's like, you don't agree with me, so therefore you're wrong.
So does this work? Has it worked?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, there are celebrities whose, you know, their box office openings are less because people are boycotting, I mean, their political views. If you associate with certain politicians, you're on the blacklist for them, you know? So you have to, it almost feels like it changes every single day. There's somebody new that's being canceled every single day because, like I said, it's not just what happened today. Oh, this guy said this thing that offended this group of people. It's people digging back into people's past 10, 12, 15 years, finding things that even as teenagers, I mean, there's college athletes who are facing scrutiny because as kids, they said something online.
I am so glad there was no social media.
Amen.
That I did in high school.
Yes.
And think about all the mistakes that, you know, we've all made, every single one of us. Who among us is mistake-free? Yeah. Right. And especially in times of ignorance, didn't know what we were saying or the impact of our words or had less revelation of the love of Jesus for us and said things that were wrong. But social media has archived these things in a way that if somebody doesn't like you enough, they'll go back and find
there's
something.
There's a trail.
Yeah.
Well, look at Kavanaugh. Look at what happened to Judge Kavanaugh.
Absolutely. That's perfect
example.
That was
30, how many years? Many, many years ago. And it wasn't even true they brought
up. The fact that he kept a written journal.
Praise the Lord.
I mean, that was an amazing thing because I don't even have journals that far. And I'm like, how does this man have this journal that goes all the way back? But it's like the Lord provided proof in that for that. But wow, that was amazing.
It was.
So we are taking your questions, comments, thoughts about this. The information is right there on the bottom of the screen. You can text your question right there to the phone number. I have the iPad in front of me. They're going to be sending these directly to me. Also, those of you on Facebook, go ahead and just type in your comments. Besides, I cancel you to us because we want to involve you in this discussion. So, what does the Word say about this? What is there anything in the Word that lines up with boycotting a person or cutting a person off or not being?
Well, we were talking about this earlier before we started, right? So it's in John 6:67, where there were several people that didn't agree with Christ. So they started walking away.
Okay, so this is the time, if I remember right, correct me if I get this wrong. This is the time that he started talking about the future. If you eat my body and drink my blood.
And they walked away, they were offended, right? They didn't like
what he was saying. They didn't understand.
So they were counseling him. They were saying, we're going to cancel you, right?
And what was his question to them then?
He turned to the 12 and he said, you're going to leave me too, right?
Yeah.
So when I think about that, Annette, or Stephen, Michelle, Greg, like, is a true leader a leader that can take people walking away?
Yeah.
Does a true leader, you know, say, if you don't want to follow me, it's fine with me. I'm going to continue to do what the Lord called me to do. So you need tough enough skin. You need a word from the Lord that propels you forward, even though, because we know that darkness is going to do darkness.
Right.
Right.
So we shouldn't be surprised with Facebook.
When darkness is dark.
Yeah, when darkness is dark and it's acting dark, we shouldn't be surprised, but we should be surprised and if darkness is in the church. And that's what we were talking about earlier.
Right, how it's entering in the church culture.
Right.
This same type of thing as entering into the church culture. Or the time where even Jesus, his mother and his brothers came to him and said, what are you talking about? And he's like, who are my mother? Who is my mother? Who are my brother? He had such a knowing of
who,
what,
he was.
Who he was, but also what his mission was, his purpose. And so if we don't understand our purpose and we don't understand our mission,
we don't understand who we are in Christ.
Right. So you won't have that confidence when you will have people that will not like what you have to say.
So you'll
what
have
you
tons
do?
Of them.
What do you do with that? Because people want people to like them.
Sure.
I mean, you know, you want people to like you.
Well, that's a basic need. That's a basic need of your inward
acceptance.
Man is love. I want to be loved.
To be accepted.
And so when you're canceled or you're cut off or separated, you're chopping out a big need in someone's life because they want to be loved. And that's the way they control.
Ooh.
They control people by canceling them or taking their acceptance away from them or taking their love away from them and pushing them in the corner. And nobody wants to be in the corner. Mm-hmm. So what are you going to do?
And it's especially significant in an industry like entertainment where people liking you is
everything.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
You know, if people cancel you and they're not going to go see your movies, they're not going to buy your music, then what do you have? The
you're
affirmation.
Gonna you're going to be working at McDonald's.
The affirmation you've been getting from people that they like me, they really like me.
Right.
You know, they went and saw the movie. They bought the music. All of a sudden, no, because of something I said, that messes, that's their way of reaching out and
but
saying...
isn't that a false narrative to think that those people on social media or your followers are actually your friends or, you know, that there's not that real... I don't know that we really know what relationship is anymore. There's not a contact of relationship. We don't have that one-on-one conversation. Mm-hmm. It's out there somewhere with someone you may or may not know. And that's a false representation of relationship in a lot of ways. They don't really know you.
And you don't really know them.
And you don't know them.
And that's
so why does their word matter?
Well, and that's what's part of what is confusing about this, I guess, and is frustrating is that you're reacting to something that somebody's done. And again, when people are in a public light, I mean, you see their highlights. You see their lowlights and you see their highlights. But you don't really see what's in between. You know, you see people at their very best. You see them at their very worst, but not usually who they really are, which is somewhere in the middle, you know? And so having this idea that based on the worst thing that you said, I'm done with you, but you don't really know this person. You don't know.
You don't measure up to my expectations.
Absolutely.
So should we expect people... As a believer, should you expect people to speak good about you?
Jesus said not to, right?
What do you mean Jesus said not to?
He said, I mean, where's we have, that scripture out? Luke 6, right?
Yes, Luke 6.
Where he talks about...
Luke 6, 26.
Okay, Luke
Jesus
6, 26. Here we go.
Woe unto you.
Somebody, do you have it?
I have it in a different translation. I don't remember that. I don't remember that part of it.
Luke 6, 26.
Well, I've got it here, but it says, woe... What sorrows await those of you who are always honored and lauded by others? For that's how your forefathers treated every other false prophet.
Wow. Oh, false prophet. Go ahead.
Oh, I'm still looking it up.
Oh, you're looking it up?
Yeah.
Okay, so I've got another verse for you. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 3. Because that's the one, when I first discovered cancel culture, that's the first verse that immediately rose up in me. And so if somebody could grab 2 Timothy there, and you get your Bible and join along with us, because we want to talk about this in light of the spirit of faith, and because it's now affecting, it's crossing over into the Christian community. I'm hearing that Bethel and other ministers are going through being canceled by groups of believers. So here's a few that have come in, and I want to go ahead and thank you for sending your comments and your questions in, and we're getting several of them. Let me get this straightened out. Sorry, here we go. This one, I won't read the names on this. Shouldn't we stand up for what we believe in and not support a company that supports, for example, gay rights? I don't think we're talking about the same thing here because we're talking about attacking and canceling people on that. So,
well, you're taking away.
So how do I stand up for what I believe in if somebody is against what I believe in?
You try to have a civil conversation with them.
Is that the case that people won't listen anymore to each other? then?
When somebody has something against me, they don't agree with what I said, right? Well, let's just take me and Jill, right? So that's the most
Jill is your wife.
Jill's my wife.
Okay.
So if she misunderstands something I say, it makes her angry, whatever. Well, I say, hey, baby, let's talk about this. Because we're talking about preconceived ideas, right? When someone says something, but they hear something different. I asked Jill one morning, I said, how much longer till you're ready? Well, Jill gets angry. She is mad. And so what I really meant inside was, do I have time to polish my shoes? So you have to get, you know, if you really want to, if you really love people and you don't understand what they're talking about, give them the benefit of doubt and go to them. Yeah. What Jesus say? He said, when you come to the altar to offer your sacrifice and you got offense with your brother, he said, he made you mad. Okay. Why don't you go straighten it out? Because that's mm-hmm. part of a relationship with God is my relationship with you.
Right. Yeah.
All right. Because you're as big a part as of me as I am with God. He said, hey, you need to, you know, I'm proud of you. You love me. And I'm also proud of you. Well, he doesn't use the word proud, but I'm proud of you that you also love your brother. Mm. So in the church, if you've got a problem with somebody, you should do every effort to go and straighten it out. You said this, I don't understand your position. Could you explain it to me?
So I want to roll a clip in on that. And then we're going to get a lot of these and got some heavyweight questions coming in here.
Let's do it.
Kelly Copeland, Jerry and Savelle on their program, which airs right here on Victory Channel, have a clip for us. You hurt my feelings. And so now I'm offended. We think we hear something that somebody said, and then we get our feelings hurt, and that leads to other people's getting their feelings hurt. Anyway, watch Kelly and Jerry and watch this. We'll be right back.
We wanted to talk today about offense. You hurt my feelings. That's what we're calling this show. Have you ever had your feelings hurt? Ever?
Oh, let me think. Yeah.
You know, I think you have opportunity almost every day.
Kind of hurt my feelings. My grandmother didn't want to get in the car with me.
Well, yeah.
So, because sometimes it can, your hurt feelings lead to somebody else's hurt feelings.
Yeah.
And it can just be passed back and forth like a cold.
Mm-hmm. And it can start, you know, with the littlest things, the littlest things. In fact, I read the definition of offense last night. And I found this interesting. It says it's an annoyance or resentment brought about by a perceived insult. Hmm. So sometimes we can be offended just on perception. You know I've hurt people's feelings and I didn't even mean to. I said something in a tone or a way and I did not mean it at all that way. And they come to me later and be like, oh, you said, and I'm like, I didn't mean that. But it's some people's perception, you know?
Well, you know, I read somewhere where we really hear as much or more with what we think is in there than what somebody actually says. So if I think you're mad at me and you say something, I just heard.
You take it that way.
You hear what's in you.
Exactly.
As much or more than you hear what somebody's saying to you.
Okay, that was really good, what Kelly just said. You hear what's in you.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
That's something.
That's a filter that you're looking through.
Did somebody, and listen, we've got a lot of these coming in, and I'm not going to shy away from them. There's a few in here that went, woo, look at there. So we're gonna get to as many as we can, and they'll have the information for you how you can do that. It's on the screen now. Somebody find that verse for me in 2 Timothy.
2 Timothy, what was it?
Well, I don't know.
Four? what was the topic of it?
2 Timothy chapter, we're live, live television.
Yes.
2 Timothy chapter 4. You know, while we were in that clip, our floor director, Tim, said something that cancel culture is the absolute opposite of grace.
Exactly. Absolutely. Yeah, separatism. It's
separating.
Yeah, divide and conquer, right? Divide people apart, make them alone, make them feel rejected. That's what Satan does. Correct.
Well, how do we not see his fingerprints over on all this?
Right, exactly.
Whether it's in the church or affecting the church, or it's a divisive tactic. That's all he does. He deceives
so
and divides.
Rita says, if we, Rita says if we can, I like this, it's funny. If we cancel everyone that we don't agree with, you'll find yourself alone.
You'll definitely find yourself alone. That's
listen,
for sure.
I've disagreed with myself a few times. Cancel me. So if that's the, isn't that funny? I like that. So Dustin has this question. He says, hello, it says in the Bible, what association does darkness have with light?
Well, we see it in the creation, correct? So God arrives on the scene, and it's all darkness. And the first thing he says is, light be. So light is an influence on darkness. Mm-hmm. It drives it back. But in people's lives, there's darkness in their hearts, right? So the darkness is driven back in their hearts by the light that's in you. You're an influence. With the guys that I work with on the road, you know, you're working with every type of person,
oh, yeah,
right, on the road. You're working with Hindus, Muslims. You're working with every religion and agnostics and everyone, mm-hmm, right? So we would say, oh, well, their lives are full of darkness, right? But there's light in me. And there's also a perception of a reality that there is God, and they possess that. So you're linking up with what they have in them to draw that out so that you can be an influence in their lives. So guys that I've worked with for years, that I may see once a year, they'll come up and say, they'll remember we talked about this last year. No, they're not Christians.
So what does that mean? I'm the light of the world then?
You're an influence on the world.
Yeah. That's right.
You're an influence on the world.
So how do I influence?
By sharing what I do, Greg,
Without being obnoxious and... How do you influence?
Well, I'll ask the guys, what do you think about this ministry? And boy, you crack the egg right there. They'll go, well, I don't believe any of this stuff. I go, well, let me tell you why I believe in this ministry. And I start giving a testimony, right? And this is how it worked. And this is how I was healed. And I didn't years ago believe this. But then someone prayed for me. So you give testimony. Mm-hmm. So you're testifying of the light that's in you, if they'll give you the time, right? So you're looking for people that, number one, you're led by the light.
Absolutely.
Correct? You're led by the light. You as a person have God in you, and he's directing you and taking you across people's paths.
Well, he's directed me to come punch that dude in the nose.
Did he really?
Or not, and not to talk to them anymore.
Yeah, oh, that's not
and
true.
And I think this idea is, what I was just thinking is, cancel culture basically says that someone is beyond redemption.
Mm. Really?
No matter what it is that they've done, you're permanently canceled.
Wow.
There's no revival there.
Yeah.
That if I cancel you, and I understand.
So that's the prodigal son, isn't it?
Absolutely. Because what fellowship can light have with darkness? None. But by canceling someone and putting that permanent ban and exile on them, we're saying basically there's no hope for you
anymore.
You're worthless. You have no chance. Jesus didn't die for you.
Oh, no.
Your sins are too great. What I've done is not as bad. And then we get into this place. And that's where it's really, I think, divisive, especially in the church. Because all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God.
We were born in sin.
Absolutely. And this idea that, well, you know, if you did this, then that deserves a cancellation. But what I did, and we all said that, thank God they didn't have social media.
Yeah.
You know, when I was growing up, I'm in my mid-30s, and I'm thankful that high school and pre-college, you know, that era, there was nothing for me to tweet my thoughts about because that would have been a disaster, you know?
Right.
And somebody would be bringing it up now and saying, like, Stephen Shelton, really? On your home group, that guy?
You're in Kenneth Copeland ministry.
Absolutely. But you know what? I've been redeemed.
You're right.
I've been redeemed. I was not so far past redemption.
Is anybody past it?
No. Mm-mm. No.
No.
I don't believe so.
So we've got to see people with different eyes, is what you're saying.
Well, God didn't cancel us out, right? What did he say? He said, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. I mean, and the whole world was what?
So I wrote this statement down a while ago, and I want to touch this real quick. Jesus did not get an attitude. He had gratitude.
Right.
That'll preach.
Well, he was the personification of love. That is what's the missing factor in all of this.
Absolutely. Right, exactly.
It's devoid of love.
It is devoid of love. And so without the real love, which is Jesus himself right. in us and showing through us,
right.
what does light have to do with darkness? Here, if I'm not the light in the darkness, there is no light.
That's right. right.
It's just going to be dark.
Yeah.
All right.
And so it is up to us who are carriers of the light to then take the light into those places. Not that I go there, but the Lord will lead us yes. into those conversations or into those places to shed love.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's okay. the only way to make a dark place light.
Right.
Is to bring light bring to it. A dark place.
Right. So we're getting a lot of comments and there's an anointing in the room here. I can sense it as we're sharing one to another, building each other. I hope you sense that. I want you to hear everything in the spirit of love and faith that's being yeah. said tonight, because obviously our nation and individually we need a healing in this. Mm. Now, just this week, a lady by the name of Patsy Caminetti, she's a minister and preacher, pastor in Australia. Her and her husband Tony, I've known them for a long time. Patsy was not just trained by Kenneth Hagin. She was mentored and daily had interaction with him. She's an amazing teacher of the Word. And she taught at Kenneth Copeland Bible College. As a matter of fact, if you're interested in that, kcbiblecollege.org, you need to get here. She talked about we are the light of the world and we dispense light. I want to play clip 8 for you. We'll come back with a whole slate full of your questions and comments. Watch Patsy.
That we are light. Say this, I am light. Now we know he's the light of the world, but we are the light of the world. So what we've been talking about is dispensing what he gives us. But we want to hone in on just one thing tonight, and then we're going to pray that way. We're going to hone in on the light that comes in this water from him. Clear as crystal, this water of life. John, the first chapter says, in him is life, and life is the light. Isn't it say that in John 1:4? So life equals light. So this river of life that comes out of the throne, out of the Lamb, clear as crystal, is the water of life or the river of life, but it is light. All right? And as we drink that, then we are full of light and we can understand things that we haven't, but we also can dispense light. Let's look at this verse of Scripture just quickly. John 1, 4 and 5. If you'd jump along with these verses with me. In him was life, and the light was the light of men. And the light shines in darkness. Where does it shine?
Darkness.
And it fulfills prophecy. Then they that sat in great darkness, one place says, saw a great light. And the darkness cannot comprehend it or put it out. What comes to you from God and is dispensed through you cannot be overcome by darkness. Darkness cannot put it out. The only way that light does not affect the darkness is if it is not dispensed.
I like that. The light has to be dispensed.
Yes.
Okay, so a lot of questions and comments and some of them with teeth in them, and that's okay. I don't mind that. Graham says this is total psychobabble. Otherwise, you'd not take a position on anything. I'm not saying we don't take a position. This is a trending thing that's happening, but it's happening to believers. Yeah, with
we're talking
believers.
About the church. We're talking about.
Listen, taking a stand against a company or something that supports something you don't believe in, that's one thing. I get that. But I'm trying to hit it on a spiritual level in the body of Christ.
Yes.
I think it's taking a stand against an issue versus taking a stand against a person.
Okay.
There you go.
Explain that.
That, of course, like, my life is driven by the values and ideas of the Word of God.
Yeah. Okay.
Correct.
Absolutely. That is the foundation on which I stand. That is the word of faith which we preach.
Yeah. Right.
Right.
That is that. The Bible is crystal clear about what is right, what is wrong. The Bible is also pretty clear about loving your neighbor.
Yes.
Yes.
And loving your enemy.
And those who persecute you. Yes. Yes. But there's taking a stand against an idea or ultimately, I say this all the time, like, you don't have any enemies in this room. You got one enemy.
Right.
And he hates you.
Yeah.
And he is the one who would like to divide things. Yeah. And sure, there are those who are working under influence of that enemy. But when we start assigning the value of that enemy to the person,
correct,
that's when this becomes the enemy's playground. Yeah. Exactly.
Hateful. God is love.
Absolutely.
Correct.
Yeah. Absolute love personified, correct, perfected love.
Yes.
And we're supposed to be that as well.
It was in us if we yield to it.
The fruit of the Spirit. They all hang on love.
So dispensing light, like we're talking about, one area that she touched on was work light.
Yeah.
So, you know, we all are in this room, it's full of light, and we can work under this light. So when you're out in an environment, in the church, let's say in the church or outside of the church, and you're dispensing light, it's work light. It's work light. So, Lord, show me in this person's life where they need to be ministered to. I'll do that with a lot of people. Lord will say, hey, I want you to go talk to that fella right there. Hmm. And he's having a rotten day. In fact, he's probably cussed me 2 or 3 times that day, you know, during setup, things like that. And I'll just pull him aside and say, hey, what are you going through? And the guy will break down. He was going through, he was going in next week to have his kidneys replaced.
Wow.
And I'm like, so he was sick, feeling bad, and worried. So work light, the light that's in you to work by. Now, that was a dark situation for him. So I took him out to lunch and was able to minister to him and pray with him. Hmm. So that's what I could have said, listen, you cussed me out today, you're fired.
You canceled.
Now, I would have canceled him, correct? But if we look deeper into the subject of the person, right? Mm. Why is he acting that way? Mm-hmm. You know, you with love looks at why is that person responding or why is that person behaving in that manner? Do I need to cut him off or do I need to minister to him, right? So with love, what's it say? Where sin abounds, grace much abounds more abounds. Yeah. So when you see darkness, so
you're telling me that
when you see darkness, run at it.
We've got to come from grace,
yes,
rather than
judgment
on anybody else.
Hate because it's a mercy seat. Hate. Yes.
Listen, the Spirit of God rested over the mercy seat,
correct,
not the judgment seat.
No,
and we've tried to replace God's mercy seat with a judgment
seat. And that's what cancellation is judgment.
Yeah. And you set yourself up as judge, jury, and prosecutor. When you do that, I'm the judge. Look here come the judge. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. You do what I say do, or
you're worthless.
You are worthless if you don't do what I say do.
Well, you'll never win the world like that then.
No, will not. You won't win your family that way for sure.
And that's why the church has been canceled out a lot.
So have we lost as the church then? Have we lost our voice and our light in society because we've been that way?
Of course.
Is it diminished then?
Nobody's going to love a person that doesn't love them.
So, Jesus speaks to the 7 churches in the book of Revelation, Revelation chapter 1, 2, 3. And he speaks to the 7 churches and he talks about the lamps and he walks between them and he looks at the churches. But the lamps were on a candlestick, mm-hmm, right? Or on a lampstand, is what they were. They didn't have candles. It was an oil lamp, but they were on lampstands.
That was the menorah.
Yes. But here's the thing. It's raised. Hmm. It's elevated. And so I know a lot of people get upset. And Monique, you had a question, and I'll just read this to what it says here. It says, I'm a liberal politically and don't agree with several ministry support of President Trump. They need to stay in their lane and preach the word. The church is supposed to be elevated in society so that light
is an influence.
Is an influence and drifts down. Because if you want a light for your path, the light of righteousness. You need the light up. That's why you wear a headlamp and not a toe lamp when you're walking through the woods, right?
Yeah.
Look, I've done a lot of hunting. You put a light up here so I can walk wherever I'm turning my head, I can see, rather than putting it on my ankles so I can see what's in front of me. So the church is supposed to be in an elevated place and shining light so people can see.
Yes.
What we do. And so, I don't know, I just got to thinking a little bit about that. Here's the thing. We need to hurt for people as a believer, not be hurt by people.
Mm-hmm. Right, right.
And I've come to the conclusion that you can't hurt me. You cannot offend me. I refuse to be offended. And I can make a choice on that.
Why do you choose that, Greg?
Because that's not easy.
Why do you choose not to be offended?
Because I can't let it affect me, Dale. I can't let that thing get in me, and then you rehearse it all the time. Right. Well, this is what they said. Well, I know what they meant to say, but this is what they said. You know what I mean? And you're replaying it.
It just hurts you.
Right.
Because it's like drinking poison and expecting it to kill somebody else.
Yes,
right.
Yes.
You know, we just go through these motions of almost to protect ourselves, I think, we can lash out. Mm-hmm. And then again, it's assigning value to someone based on their behavior or their actions. And absolutely, you know, the behavior, the sin is wrong. There's just a certain point where separating sin from sinner is how you love people. Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., hate can't drive out hate. Only love can do that.
Right.
You know, we talk about the word as a light into our path. Why would you need a light if there wasn't darkness?
That's right.
Right.
There's darkness out there, and that's the point of the word, is to be a light in dark places. But if you're in a corner with your light and you're not going into the dark place, then you're not affecting, you're not dispensing that light.
I remember a story years ago, and I don't recall this, but I mean, totally, to get exactly right, I've messed it up, I'm sorry, that Andre Crouch ended up being a front act for some secular band or some secular thing.
Okay.
And people started booing or whatever when he came out because he was filling in, if I'm getting it right, for somebody. And the crowd was hostile. They did not want him out there. And he just sat down at the piano and just said the name Jesus and began it just playing and saying that. And the crowd just silenced. He didn't get up and get mad at anybody. It just he went inward with that. Mm-hmm. And he sang a song or two and then got up and left. But the crowd, he turned them by that. Okay, let me get some of these. We've got so many coming in. I want to read Helen. Helen, here's yours right now. And listen, if you want to be part of that, the information is there on the screen for you, how that you can be part, govictory.com or ask home group at govictory.com. Phone number if you want to text, if you're on Facebook, just type it in. It says this, Helen says, when church leaders move away from the word of God, is that not reason to cancel a church?
I'd say it'd be a reason to pray for your church.
Wait a minute. Why? What?
Yeah, I would pray for my church. If my church, my brother, well, I'm not going to use my brother as an example. A friend of mine.
who didn't happen to be
definitely not Dale's brother.
Definitely not your brother.
Right. Well, they were going through a hard time in their church, you know. And Dale being a... Being a forceful person, yeah, that I'm, you know, the Lord's helping me, right? I said, Dwayne, if you're not getting fed there, take off. You know, go find you another church. And
doesn't Jesus place us in the church we're supposed to be in?
Right. So I get in the car, I'm driving home. The Lord said, you told your brother exactly wrong. And he showed me a picture of my brother standing at the front door of that church.
It's not your brother.
My brother. It's my brother.
Hypothetical.
He showed my brother standing at the front door of the church with a shield and a sword. He said, your brother is there to pray for that church. You told him wrong. So I called Dwayne. I said, buddy, I was wrong, and this is what the Lord showed me. And so they did. Help turn your church. If you have to be a light in the church, right? Don't you have to be a light in the church as much as you're a light to the non-church?
Well, this is where we pray. Paul prayed prayers for people, Ephesians chapter 1 and Ephesians chapter 3, and you can read those prayers. You can pray them. I pray for the eyes of their understanding to be enlightened.
And that was the church he was praying
by
for.
By the word of God.
He was praying for the church.
Yes.
Well, in the same thing, speaking of political leaders, you know, Paul instructs us very strongly to be praying for those in authority. So, so the church's position politically first is to pray for those that are in positions of authority. And I say it's not just political, governmental leaders, but our spiritual leaders.
Yes.
It's twofold. So those that are over us or those that are in positions of authority, God is the one who's got that. He knows who's in charge. He knows who sets in place. And our position then is to pray for them. And I think it's a failure on our part as the church if we see something happening and we're not doing our part, which is praying for them. Right.
Yes.
So what I want to talk about now, and I want to play a clip. Brother Copeland spoke. This was impromptu. We didn't know he was coming in. He came in. He had a word from heaven for the church. And I want to play that clip in just a second, but I'm setting it up by this. Good friend of yours in this ministry across town is a man by the name of Todd White. And Todd's been going through this recently of being canceled by other Christians because they disagree with his hair or whatever it is, right? Pick something. Brother Copeland has had that. And I think that goes to that scripture in Luke 6:26, woe unto you when all men speak well of you. But Brother Copeland doesn't pay attention to it. He doesn't listen to his press, good or bad. You've been around him for...
Well, he don't want his good reports, what people think about him, but neither does he want the negative. He does not like a lot of information about, oh my God, they think you're just wonderful.
How long have you been with Brother Copeland?
Well, April will be 40 years.
40 He's years. Gone. Faithful. Annette, you're faithful.
Thank you.
And... So you know him as well as anyone, but the whole thing is we've in the body of Christ divided ourselves into, and this is a popular word, this camp and this stream, and this kind of
tribe.
Tribe, which I have not seen in Scripture. Brother Copeland came in one Sunday morning and he had a word specifically about that. I think it's timely, and I want you to watch it. Here it is.
This is good.
There are those that are called and anointed to teach and preach praise and worship and glory. Amen. There are people called in that flow. And you hear people say, well, they're not in our camp. I tell you, I despise that term. I despise it. I was visiting with Kelly about it just in the last few days, and it's not in our camp. Come on. We don't have a camp. Absolutely, we don't have a camp. We're the kingdom of God. We are the church, glory to God. And thank God for people who know to what they're called. And stay in it, glory to God. And don't venture out of it. There are specialists. Now we've learned this. Let's take the most exact example and illustration that I know. There are general practitioners, general family medicine. Amen. That would be more like the pastor. But even a general practitioner knows to whom and to what he or she is called.
Okay, I want to give a spiritual context to what that's about, that the camp thing that he addressed. And that was some strong language.
I despise
that. That was pretty strong. And listen, he's a prophet of the Lord. He says that.
Yeah.
I take notice of that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Here's where that came from. That came from Acts chapter 4, I believe, where Peter and John had been arrested, and they were told, and it tells who was there. Tells who was in the meeting. They got told it was the Sanhedrin was there, Caiaphas, the high priest, was there, the ones that just had Jesus crucified. Mm-hmm. And they commanded them to preach and teach no more in that name. And so being let go, it says they return to their own company or their own group, their own camp.
Their own camp, okay.
Okay. So here's the thing. There's only two groups.
Right.
In that story.
Mm-hmm.
There's a group of unbelievers that are threatening them. And then there's a group of believers that they went back to.
Yeah.
So, guys, there's only two camps.
Right.
Yeah.
And if you're in the body of Christ, there's believers
yes.
and unbelievers. Mm. And as believers, we got to get this thing right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Jesus tells the disciples, I'm getting the preach on me, and you guys are going to have
That's
to stop.
Okay, go ahead.
Go ahead.
It's good.
Jesus tells the, well, I'm not here for that. I'm the host.
No, it's
you're
good.
Supposed to preach. Jesus says to his disciples when he's giving them the Last Supper, right there before he goes to the garden,
mm-hmm.
he says, as often as you do this in remembrance of me. And it talks about, and Paul talks, admonishes us not to take of communion.
Yeah, unworthily.
Unworthily. But what is the exact wording on that? It's, a,
discern
it's
the
in
body.
Corinthians.
Discern the body.
It's
discern
Corinthians chapter 11. Discern the body.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what does that mean? The body of Christ.
That means the body, all of us collectively.
And many are sick and weak among you because you don't rightly
discern the
body.
Body.
And so that body is my brother and sister that's a believer, isn't it?
Yeah.
But define believer, because I think sometimes we think a believer is we agree on every doctrinal thing. But really, the factor of being a believer is you believe in Jesus Christ.
Right. Death, burial, and resurrection.
He is your Lord and Savior.
Yeah.
There are a lot of parts of the body that we believe differently, but they're still part of the body.
You're speaking like doctrinally.
Doctrinally. Yeah. And so we may not agree on everything.
But we can agree.
We can agree on Jesus.
This is the common core.
And it goes back. I mean, the apostle. That's why the Apostles' Creed was created. Right. You believe this, you believe this. Well, what do we believe? I believe in God the Father, maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only son.
And
to that point of like, well, what do you do when a church is teaching false doctrine? Well, who's deciding that it's false doctrine? Is it the word that's decided it's false doctrine? Are they deciding that, oh, you know, Jesus isn't that important? You know, it's whatever, it's optional. There's many ways to it. Like the word says, there's one way.
One way.
The way, the truth, and the
way.
Life.
Yeah.
And that's Jesus. And so there is a difference here between my church decided, you know, you can be a Hindu, you can be this, you can be that. And it's whatever.
Many paths.
Many paths, okay. Right. There's a difference between that and, oh, I don't really agree with your interpretation of this and that sort of things. And there are people who are probably watching saying they don't agree with our interpretation of even that passage that Paul speaks of taking the body. But what unites us has to be stronger than what divides
Amen.
Us.
Amen.
Right. Yeah.
And that's what cancel culture is. It's looking for every possible opportunity
looking for
to
fault.
Divide right. us.
It's right. looking for faults.
Which is the tactic of the enemy and has been since day one. Guys, the devil's not creative. He doesn't come up with new things.
Right.
He's just going to do the same thing he's always done. And dividing the body has been a successful tactic that we've allowed him to use.
It's strife.
And every evil work then is available.
Right. And when there's strife, Brother Copeland talks about in clip number one, you're carnal and you walk like unchanged men. Because that's what's happened. We've changed. Right?
Right?
Let me play you clip one, Kenneth Copeland. Watch this. We'll come back and wrap this up.
For you are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are you not carnal and walk as mere men? The Greek text says, are you not carnal and walk like unchanged men? So here's one thing. Strife caused this church at Corinth to come to the place where they couldn't receive what the Spirit of God sent the Apostle Paul there to deliver to them any more than unsaved men could receive it because of strife. It had rendered them back into the same spiritual condition. They were still born again, don't misunderstand me. But their spirit was captured behind their minds and the strife that was in their mouth and the separation and divisions that were in the midst. There was so much strife going on there, they couldn't hear the voice of God. There was so much strife going on in there, they couldn't do anything spiritual. They thought they were. But he had a lot to say about that, did he not? A lot of correction had to go forth. And it was because of strife.
Cause of strife. He's talking about the Corinth church, yet that's the Spirit-filled church more than the other churches. Mm. and they thought they were spiritual mm-hmm. in their strife. Annette, we can't tolerate strife, can we?
Well, no, but we don't really know how to help. No, we don't tolerate strife because strife separates you from the love of God. That's exactly what it does. You cannot walk in the love of God and have strife in your life. But strife is a two-way street. It takes two to enter into strife, most cases. Now, there is a case. There is a time when strife occurs that, well, use me. I didn't have anything to do with it. Mm-hmm. It was a one-way street on strife. Why? Because they chose.
How do you know? How do I know when I'm getting in strife?
I'm going to teach on. There she goes. Teach on the fruits of the Spirit next week.
Okay.
And so, you know right here. If you're born again, you get into those works of the flesh. Mm. If you don't know you're in it, go check out the works of the flesh. Go see what they say. Mm-hmm. You'll find yourself real quick. So, love will keep you. It'll keep you.
A bond
love
of peace.
Love will yeah. keep
It'll make
you.
A bond of peace. Yeah.
But you have to identify when strife is trying to enter into you, unbelief is trying to enter into you. You know, you have a knowing. I have a knowing that I'm born of God, that I'm filled with the Spirit. I have a knowing. I also have a knowing when I miss the mark.
Mm-hmm. Brother Hagin likened it like this. Not that we're going by feelings. We're not saying that.
Right. Mm-hmm.
He said it feels like there's something scratchy in your belly.
Does.
And he said it's like taking a shower with your socks on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Now, I had to know what that was. I did it. I got in the shower with my socks. He's right.
Checked it out.
That's weird. You know, but I'm like, I needed to know. I mean, that's just how I am. You know that.
I do know.
I got in the shower with my socks on just to see.
Oh.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, now I know what it feels like.
Yeah, I like that scripture where Paul uses, no man is without excuse. Every man knows and senses that there's a God.
You know.
So if a guy that's not born again can sense that there's not a God, then me as a born again person, I can definitely sense when I'm in strife.
Mm-hmm. Yes, you can.
You become even more sensitive to the Lord, because you decided to turn and listen to Him.
And if you say you're not, you're just shoving down the Holy Spirit on the inside of you.
You're
telling you.
You're putting an iron against your conscience. Yeah. You're putting an iron against your heart. You're hardening your heart against
Absolutely.
The Lord.
Yeah. That's what that scripture's talking about.
And the more you don't acknowledge when you're missing the mark, you're just fooling yourself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You're fooling yourself because you know. But you don't want to admit you're wrong. Well, right there, you're messed up, too.
We did an interview.
Admit you're wrong.
Yeah, we did this interview with this gentleman. He was an elderly man. He worked with Smith Wigglesworth. So one of the guys on the crew asked him, he said, are you Catholic? He said, yes, I am Catholic. And I'm Protestant. And I'm Episcopalian. And I'm Baptist. He went through all the denominations. He says, you know why I'm all those things? He said, because I'm part of the body of Christ.
Amen.
And they're woven into me and I'm woven into them. So he had the main thing was the main
Jesus.
Thing.
Yeah.
Right, Jesus.
Who is the
Jesus
head of the church.
Yes.
So Jesus said, we're the light
church,
of the world.
That church?
Yes. Jesus said that we are the light of the world.
We are.
And you went in creation, you had a greater light and a lesser light.
Mm-hmm.
The sun was the greater light. And the moon was the lesser light. Mm-hmm. Now realize something. You're a lighting guy.
Yes, sir.
The moon doesn't have any energy of itself.
It's a reflector.
To make a light. It's just a reflector.
Yes.
And we have reflectors in here.
Right.
That just reflect the light. Really, that's what I am. He is the sun.
Yes.
I'm the lesser light that just that's reflects good. Him. And so this one question, this has come in several times, that said, what fellowship does light have with darkness? All I need to do is shine. I don't need to worry about the darkness. Mm-hmm. I just need to reflect the light.
The greater light, yeah.
I don't know. Listen, a lot of you have asked, well, what do? We do a boycott this company. What about this company that supports this? I really don't have time to find out what everybody supports. And they don't always tell you what they support.
Right.
I mean, if you've got any retirement account,
yes, right.
Some of your retirement accounts support things.
I guess you shouldn't pay taxes.
Because the government is
because of the, you disagree with the thing the government's doing.
Okay.
We are saying pay your taxes.
I'm taking it to the extreme.
I'm taking it to the extreme. So if you're going to boycott something,
don't boycott that.
You'll go to jail if you don't pay your taxes. What we're trying to say is
just shine, man.
Yeah. My God,
just let your light shine
before men, and they will see your good works.
Yeah.
Focus. Father in heaven. Yeah.
Yeah. Focus on what's right. Focus on the light, because if you focus on darkness, you're not getting anywhere. I like what she said this week. She was talking about bitterness and the root of bitterness. Mm. She said, you know, God said, root yourself in love. So she had an upside down tree rooted in love. She said, but, you know, once in a while you get offended and you get bitter. Well, you've got one of your roots of your tree in the wrong ground. Mm. And she said, all you have to do is take that root and reorganize it and put it back in the love of God.
Yeah.
Because you're going to produce fruit of your tree that's rooted in bitterness. So you're going to have fruits of bitterness or darkness.
Because the tree, the tree produces it doesn't strain to produce fruit.
Mm-mm.
No.
Never seen a tree straining to make fruit. It just does what it's supposed to do.
Right. Yeah.
And whatever it's rooted in, whatever is in that root is what fruit's going to come out of.
So if you got one root in toxic and you got other roots in love, you're going to get some toxic, you're going to get some love.
What's in the seeds going to show up.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Well, I think it's a time that we need the compassion. Jesus was moved with compassion.
Yes, he was.
And I think it's time that we get compassionate again about the world.
Yes, amen.
And less picking at people.
Yeah.
I said this a while ago, people say what they say because they don't know who they are. And we need to hurt for people, not be hurt by people. I want to read this one. This came in, it's a text. I don't know who sent this, but it says, we have a lot of capital letters in a lot of these tonight. And I apologize, I didn't get to all of them. We're about at the end of this. It says, we have no right to cancel anyone, capital letters. It's not our gift to give. Jesus gave the gift of redemption to all men. We cannot choose who opens receives the gift.
Amen.
Yes.
So I want to thank you for your questions, your comments. I'm sorry we didn't get to all of them. Many of them were duplicate of stuff that we've already covered. Next week, we will not be live. We're going to replay one of the best of because there is a ministers' conference here at Kenneth Copeland Ministries. And ministers are coming in literally from all over the world. It's a private deal. It's not open to the public. Won't be on television. But do me a favor. Pray for these ministers. Many of them, when we were pastors in California, and they need a word. They need a direction. Some of them are trying to decide whether to quit the ministry or not.
Yeah.
And so I want you to pray for them this week. All right? Guys, we are less than a minute. Thank you so much. Any last minute things anybody needs to say concerning
stay
this.
In love.
Amen.
Stay in love. That's
be a light and not cancel a brother, anybody out.
Don't cancel.
Walk in love with each other. I don't know how to do that. Then pray the word over them.
That's right. Yeah.
Pray the Ephesian prayers that the eyes of their understanding be enlightened by the word, that they may see and know.
Yeah.
Yes.
All right?
Yeah.
Okay. So don't forget, Sunday, don't miss Eagle Mountain International Church, Faith Foundations first, and then Pastor George will be after that. And then we will see you back in 2 weeks. Okay, here we go. Know this. God loves you.
Yes,
we love you. And Jesus is Lord.
See you in a couple of weeks.